Praise God. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, 1 John 5:14, before we read that verse out loud, let me say this. If our prayer request that we're taking to the Lord is according to God's Word, then it is according to His will. However, there needs to be some qualifiers placed there, because we can pray something that's in the Bible in the wrong way, with the wrong attitude, with the wrong spirit. We can take things that are in fact in the Bible and we can turn them around and twist them all up and make it to the point where God not only can't answer it, He won't answer it. And the danger is always for every one of us, the human element. And anything that we're discussing relative to answered prayer or unanswered prayer, faith, victory, defeat, fear, any of these type of things, the danger is always with the human element. But God has always told the truth. And so if there is a problem, it is not the Word of God that is that problem. It would be me as the prayer, as the believer. The problem would be located within me somewhere. You know, I could be misinterpreting a situation. I could be misinterpreting Scripture. I could have the wrong motives. I love what Pastor Carter said. You know, anytime we find ourselves praying for judgment to fall, now judgment's in the Bible, but we're not praying according to the heart of God who desires mercy. Now, judgment will come, absolutely. There will be people who will face judgment, absolutely. Sin has to be atoned for. And you're either going to let Jesus do it, which He did at the cross. You're either going to receive that for yourself, or you're going to have to pay for your sins against God. But God's heart is, and the will of God is that you will come to Christ and you'll be saved. And you'll be washed in the blood, and you'll be forgiven, and you'll grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and on we could go. Those are the desires that God has for the human race. And that's why telling the gospel every opportunity is so very important. Now let's read this verse of Scripture with that in mind. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And in the Greek text, there is a discussion, difference of opinion, as to where the comma should be placed. So let me read it to you again. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, comma, that, comma, if we ask anything. Some Greek translators put the comma right there. If we ask anything, comma, according to His will, He hears us. And there's no comma after the word will, like there is in many or most Bibles. And it changes the meaning. So for our purposes tonight, it's going to add to our understanding as we say this. First of all, we pray according to God's will. And secondly, according to His will, He hears us when we pray. Now you see the difference there? So we must pray according to God's will. And according to God's will, we have the confidence that He hears us when we pray. Have you ever felt like God's not hearing you? Perhaps we're speaking so much and so often and so loudly without taking the opportunity to listen to what's coming back at us from the throne of heaven, that we're off in a direction that God's trying to pull us away from. Just a thought. So under what conditions can we have confidence that God hears us when we pray? when we pray according to His will. The next verse says this, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, so He hears whatever we ask. I want you to have that in your understanding. He hears whatever we ask. That doesn't mean that what we're asking is correct, but He hears it. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Which is a very interesting verse, because another verse of Scripture says this to us, that if we will trust in God with all of our heart, then He will give us the desires of our heart. So here's where we can have our confidence that He hears us and that we will have the petition that we ask of Him, is when we pray according to the desire that God Himself has put within our heart. See, the Scripture that says, if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, He will give us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean God's going to give me everything I want. It means that God's going to tell me what to desire. But it's going to be more than just telling me. Supernaturally, God's going to make that who I am. He's going to put that in my heart and in my being. And when I pray those prayers, another translation says that this is the boldness that we have toward God. When we know that we know that we know, we can be bold and have the confidence that when we pray those things that God has placed within our heart, you see, it's God's delight to answer those prayers. And this comes into every area of our lives, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whatever the case might be. We have to have a confidence that God has heard us when we pray. And I'm going to take a couple of these tonight. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture. And then we're going to make some comments as the Holy Spirit points these out to us. So first of all, let's look at the will of God concerning salvation. You see, what's another word for confidence? Another word for confidence would be trust. And another word for trust would be faith. So just like when we talked a few moments ago about the little phrase, I won't be denied. You see, if I know that I'm praying what God has put in my heart, there were battles that we faced in giving all of those Bibles for all of those years. We're still doing it today. And there's still battles, as the enemy tries to stop it and cut it off and dry it up. But I know I have this confidence because God is the one that put that desire in my heart, that the enemy will not prevail and that we will receive the funds and we will obtain the Bibles and we will find avenues to give those Bibles, and people will receive those Bibles, and most times through missionaries in other parts of this world, also they receive instruction, they hear the gospel, they give their heart to Christ, and they've got their first Bible. And that's tremendously important. It's all a work of the Holy Spirit. And those are the things that God declares verbatim in His Word. You know, I will not apologize for the Word of God. I don't care what you think or anybody else thinks. If it says it in the Word, my responsibility is to pray it through. And as God shows me things in my heart that need to be different or things in my mind that need to be different, then I need to allow Him to conform me to the image of Christ and take a stand on the Word of God and run the best race that God will enable me to run in my life. And it really doesn't enter into the picture what do other people think. But you have to be sincere before God. So let's look at the will of God concerning salvation. Can I pray for my loved ones to be saved and expect God to answer that prayer? Let's read John 3:16 first of all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's the will of God. You can look at the cross, you can see the Savior, and see the will of God. The will of God is that what He died for would be accomplished. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Now that verse right there is the reason why God hasn't brought judgment on the earth up to this point. And see, that should be our heart too. You know, all you Christians who are out there praying for judge this and judgment here and judgment there and judgment here, you're out of step with the Holy Spirit of God. Because he's delaying that judgment as long as He possibly can, because He wants men and women, boys and girls, to get saved, to give their hearts and lives to Christ. And we're talking about judgment, of course, not in the sense of taking this thing away or that thing. We're talking about a finality. There are judgments of God that come every single day in one form or another. Sometimes the Lord will just tell you, hey, I want you to stop doing this or that. And that's a judgment. God's issued a judgment. And it's up to you now whether you're going to obey Him or whether you're going to have your own way. In all of these things, the Scripture said, let me see if I can get to it real quick. If I can't find it, I'll try my best to quote it. But I don't want to misquote it. And I think it's in Mark, the very last chapter of Mark. This is the Great Commission, chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat down, job finished, work completed, redemption purchased, new church founded and ordained, to go forth and do the works of Jesus in the earth. He sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth. Who's they? The disciples. And they are representative of you and me as believers. They went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them. That's very important. The Lord working with them. That means, like I said earlier tonight, you know, I know so many today, and I'm not making light of what people go through, because I have issues, and I have struggles, and I have things in my life that I deal with. I know so many people who are struggling just like, you know, every other day or every other week, and it's the same problems that they struggle with. And so I go to prayer for them, and the Holy Spirit says, well, send them this message. It will help them. Or send them this book. It will help them. But they don't listen, and they don't read, making no effort to come out of their depression, no effort to come out of their struggle. And see, the Bible says that Jesus will work with us, but He won't do it all for us. It's very, very important. And then it says, confirming the word with signs following. And we just read this in the word. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. We have to have confidence. We have to have faith and know that He will bring to pass what He has promised. And He has promised to save people. But now here's what the Lord won't do. The Lord won't force your loved one to get saved. The Lord won't force His will. His will is that everybody should be saved, but everybody's not saved. He wants everybody to be saved, but everybody will not be saved. But the opportunity is there. The potential is there. The capability is there because Jesus paid the price. He did it all. All you and I have to do is come to Him and receive His beautiful sacrifice on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit is constantly working on us. And your unsaved loved ones, here's what I want you to know. Every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit's one aim in their life is to bring them to Christ Jesus and to have them cleansed from their sin and turn to Him. It's repentance of sin and faith toward Christ. That's our message. And the Holy Spirit is engineering it. He's working it out. He's presenting them with opportunities. He's revealing Himself. He's revealing the cross to people. And He's organizing it. He's orchestrating it. But He will not force them to accept it. And so while we understand that it is God's will for them to be saved, there may be some other things that have to take place in life first. Sometimes God has to take us to the end of our limits. Sometimes God has to break our pride. Sometimes God has to lay us flat on our back before we will receive what He has for us. And see, in those areas, we have to be careful what we do, especially when it comes to rescuing people. Because there's some circumstances that God doesn't want us to rescue people from them. Because through that circumstance, He's going to lead them out of that wilderness into the promised land. We have to keep that in mind. Now, we pray for lost loved ones to be saved. And we have confidence that we know that this is what God wants. And so I have seen the efforts of the Holy Spirit increased in intensity based on the prayers of the saints. Think about that for a minute. In Acts 16:31, they said it just this simply. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So we understand, here's what I believe from the Word of God. You may disagree with this, and that's certainly your prerogative to do so. But I believe that the very instant, the very moment that one person in that family gets saved, it's just a matter of time before the rest come to Jesus Christ. Unless they refuse it, they reject it, they cast it down, then of course they missed out on it. But I believe any time God has a witness, He's revealed His will that everyone should be in. Because there is not a person... You know, you could never say, well, in that family over there, there's two or three of them that are just really better than all the rest, and God just really wants to save them. That is a lie. God wants to save that entire family. God wants to save every person. None of it is based on the merit or the unmerit of the people. I personally believe that you're going to see people get saved that you would have never saved them. I would have never saved them. And they're pretty rough. But God loves them. Jesus died on the cross for them. And God's going to get them. Now that's the motivation of God. This is why it becomes extremely important that we pray for the lost. And many times as we pray, God will show us how to put legs on our prayers and do something about it. And that just doesn't go just for lost, the salvation issue. That's for anything we pray about. You know, if you're sitting there and you've got a cupboard full of canned goods and you're praying for this poor guy next door, but you're not willing to give him a can, You're wasting your breath praying. Did you realize that? Oh, God, help that man. And I just keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Well, bless God, I worked for it and I earned it. Well, that's your whole problem, see? That's your whole view of everything. You've brought that old crazy carnal view into your walk with Christ. That's what I want to make out. Our whole thinking needs to change. If I was to sit here and say, in fact, I'm just going to do it. So, if I was to sit here and say on this program tonight that God loved Adolf Hitler and wanted Adolf Hitler to be saved, and you got angry at that statement, your heart's not right with God. Because God did love Adolf Hitler, and God did want Adolf Hitler to be saved, and he refused. God doesn't create us monsters. We become monsters by refusing the sacrifice of Christ and refusing all that is holy in God that he wants to give to us. Sometime back, I was preaching a message in the great state of Kansas. And I made the statement about the Penn State Nittany Lions coach, Joe Paterno, and all the trouble that he went through at the end of his life and how hateful even some believers were towards him. And I asked the people that day, did you ever think to pray for him? Did you ever think to send him a note asking how his soul was? Did he know Jesus Christ? Did you ever think to tell the man you loved him? Because God, I guarantee you, God loved that man. You know, and Coach Paterno was one of the greatest college football coaches of all time, and he it was proven that he didn't do the actual act, but he refused to follow up with law enforcement, and it was a big scandal in the papers and everything. But anytime I see Christians, especially on Facebook, it's so terrible, folks, as they spew their hatred. I'm telling you, you are a lousy witness for Christ if you're doing that. Another great example is these death penalty cases and how outside of the prison on the night of an execution, you're always going to find two groups of people. You're going to find the anti-death penalty people, and you're going to find the pro-death penalty people, always. And they're all going to have signs, and they're all going to be screaming. But I, forgive me if I just don't understand. You call yourself a Christian, and I just don't understand how you can celebrate outside of a penitentiary, or anywhere else for that matter, after an execution has been carried out. Because it took the life of a human being, and here's the point. The point is, well, you just want to let criminals get by. You've missed it, friend. Your mind is in outer space. I believe we need to hold people accountable for what they have done, and there are consequences to actions. Can I get a witness on that part? But it's nothing to celebrate when something like that is carried out. You're of the wrong spirit if you get all happy and excited when something like that happens. Because it's not God's will. It's not God's will for the murderer to murder, and it's not God's will for him to die and go to hell or her. It's his will that all should hear the gospel and all respond to the gospel and be saved. That's what God desires. Let's look at another one. So don't nullify your prayers by getting a wrong spirit or a bad spirit. Don't, you know, when you pray for somebody to be saved, maybe it's your son, your daughter, maybe it's your husband or your wife, or maybe it's just your best friend, maybe it's your brother, your sister, your mom or dad, whatever the case might be, and you pray for them in faith because you know God wants them to be saved, right? I believe we've probably established that tonight. So you pray in faith toward that end, then don't go off talking about how bad they are. And don't go off talking about how lost they are. And don't be sharing with all your friends every little fault and failure in that person's life. You're nullifying your prayers. You're praying one thing and you're saying something else. And that's a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways and will not receive anything from the Lord, the Scripture says. So we get our praying and our saying lined up together. We're not going to deny reality. So-and-so needs the Lord. Absolutely. We all do. I need the Lord. And I gave my heart to Christ in 1981. But I still need the Lord. So there are ways of saying things without telling every little detail. And some people just like to talk. Some people talk to hear themselves talk and they ain't got nothing to say. But we need to get our saying and our praying lined up. Now let's deal with one more thing before we go. And that is the authority to claim your family. And again, that authority is not vested in us per se, but it's invested in the sacrifice that Christ gave on the cross. So by the blood of Jesus, by the cross of Christ, by the word of God, we have the authority to claim our family for Jesus Christ. And that's the way we should approach it in prayer. So let's go to this final thought about salvation before I go to healing. What if they don't get saved? Were you wrong that you had authority? Were you wrong in what you prayed? Absolutely not. Just like we're going to see here in a minute with healing. The will of God is the will of God. If there is a fault, it is not in God, it is in me. And so people were praying for me, I have no doubt, in 1981 when I gave my heart to Christ, but I still could have stood up and said no to Jesus. I could have refused His love. I could have refused the sacrifice on the cross. I could have went my own way and I'd probably be dead and in hell today. So, just because a thing doesn't happen that the Bible says will happen doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. Where did we get that? And then pretty soon people start talking like, well, you know, I'm just afraid to believe for anything anymore because it seems like I've been believing, and I never got it. So something's wrong with the promise. I mean, it's not for us today. Have you ever heard people say that? Especially about this next one. The second point is that to be an effective prayer warrior and pray in the will of God, we have to have God's word abiding in us. Remember the first one? If we pray according to His will, then our prayer request will be granted. If it's according to His word, it's according to His will. And to be an effective prayer warrior, we have to have God's word abiding in us. Let's look at what God's word says concerning healing. And this is a real hot button issue. I'm not going to belabor this point because I understand where people are sometimes with this. But let's see what God's Word says about it. At the end of the day, all my experiences be cursed. All my beliefs be cursed. All of my thoughts and ways be damned to hell. At the end of the day, let God's Word remain sure and steadfast, faithful and true. And let the people of God put their confidence in the Word of God. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. This is the peace with God that Christ purchased through His own chastisement, and with His stripes we are healed. And let's insert a bracket there and let's say this. people have said, that was only talking about spiritual healing. Prove it. And I'll guarantee you, as you set out to try to prove that, the Word of God will disprove that. This was referring to, if you look in the original Hebrew, and then you see the fulfillment, that I'm going to read it to you here in a little bit. In the New Testament, you will see that this was healing for spiritual issues, healing for physical issues, healing for emotional and mental issues, healing for financial issues, and the list is endless, because the word shalom is, it means it's the peace of God, but what it means is nothing missing, nothing broken. That's God's will for the human family. Every last one of us. His will for the human race, saved or unsaved, is what we have just said. Now, we know you can't have it and not be saved. Friend, if you're not saved, you're controlled by demon spirits, by and large. But God's heart beats for the human race. He wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to be healed and well, with nothing missing, nothing broken. Can't you see that? Yes, but my loved one didn't get healed. You know, I understand that, but first of all, let me say this to you. Yes, they did too get healed. They got healed the very second, the very millisecond that they stepped into heaven, they were healed instantly. No more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more heartache, no more sorrow. So they did too get it. Let me make a statement. There is a difference between the will of God and the plan of God. God's will always, always, always come to pass. God's plan, on the other hand, is dependent upon some variables. Remember we read the verse earlier tonight that said the Lord worked with them. So if you refuse to work with Him, then His plan for your life will be thwarted by the enemy. It will be aborted. And somebody has asked me these questions so many times, and I've thought about it and prayed about it. I don't have all the answers, but can you ever go back to the place in the plan where it was aborted? Maybe not. And then theologically we would say this: God's will does not change. But sometimes God wills a change. Let me say that again. Make both them statements again. The will of God is always accomplished 100% of the time. Now there are shades and meanings in there we'll look at in a minute, but the will of God is always carried out. But the plan of God sometimes is thwarted by human rebellion, by demonic assault, whatever the case might be. Even then, you could not say that Satan is more powerful than God. So who let the demonic assault be successful in the earth? It has to be us. Maybe by the failure to take seriously the commands of prayer. Perhaps by the failure to give to the work of the Lord. Perhaps by a number of different reasons. But sometimes we have opened doors and allowed Satan to increase when God wanted him shut down. But you could not say that he's more powerful than Jehovah God. You'd be wrong if you said it. God is all powerful. Satan has power, but God is all powerful. Okay? So let's look at this fulfillment of that verse. Let me say the second phrase again. God's will never changes. But sometimes God does will a change. And that's what I've prayed about that for 30 years, folks. as I see people who, and they honestly are asking questions. Hey, can I ever go back to what God originally intended? Maybe. Maybe God gets you there. Or maybe He will a change. Because you did what you did, you went where you went. But you can still have a good plan of God for your life in this moment by trusting His Word and trusting that He loves you and trusting that He has your best at heart. And we're going to leave that there. But we'll come back and pick up with a message on that. I might call it the Word, the Will, and the Wisdom of God. Because all of those, the Word, the Will, and the Wisdom of God, comes into factor with what we're talking about. Prayer for salvation, prayer for healing, whatever the case might be. So here's Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought to Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed, notice that next word, all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We just read to you in Isaiah 53, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So let's say this, and then we'll wrap up our little part on healing, and we will go to financial needs. Let me say this. I've gone a little bit longer than I originally planned to tonight. And actually, I had another message all picked out, but God said to go here with it. So, and then we got another one that we're working on for the radio program on prayer as well. God's will is for the human race to be whole. God's will is not that you and I be devastated by cancer and arthritis and heart disease and all of the maladies that Satan has brought into this planet through the fall. God's will is that we be whole and that we be well and that we be healthy. And God heals in many different ways. Sometimes God will heal someone immediately. And they will jump up from the bed of affliction and sickness, and they will run to give testimony to the goodness and the glory of God. Other times, God may heal people over time. It might take time for that healing to manifest. And the third way that God heals is He heals in the resurrection. He heals you when you get to heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. Somebody said, well, did God make me sick? Well, I'll ask you, can God get what He ain't got? Can God violate His character and give you something that He never wanted the human race to have? So no, God doesn't make you sick to teach you things. That's a lie. Now, well, God allowed it, didn't He? Well, obviously. If you're sick, yes. Just because He allowed something to happen doesn't mean it's His will or His plan, and it doesn't mean that He authored it, and it doesn't mean that He put His stamp of approval on it. Well, God's going to teach me something from this affliction. Absolutely. I have no... David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted because I have learned to humble myself before God. Absolutely. But that, again, God doesn't have any cancer in heaven. He doesn't have any flu in heaven. He doesn't have any arthritis in heaven. He's not going to give that to you. That's the work of the evil one, the thief. John 10:10 comes, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So for all of you folks that want me to say one of the reasons you might not have your healing yet is because God is trying to teach you things and all that, I'm not going to say that to you. We will learn no matter what situation we're in. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will learn from whatever situation we're dealing with. God just comes to show us things and teach us stuff. He doesn't have to make us sick to do it. Now, sometimes He allows it, and sometimes there is an area of His wisdom that we do not understand, as He knows that, maybe He knows that the only way this person's ever going to come to the end of themselves is to go through that valley of the shadow of death. I'm not saying that God doesn't have those thoughts. I'm saying that when we pray, we need to take His will. And that will is for me to be well. And I'm going to be well immediately, over time, or when I get to heaven. So that my heart can fully grab a hold of this promise when I pray, my heart can fully grab a hold of this word that come from heaven, and I can believe for my sicknesses to be healed in Jesus' name because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Now we're going to leave that there for tonight. We're going to go to the next one. There's actually two more. And I'm going to go really fast, okay? I've held you a little bit long. I do have some announcements at the end of the message and a few more songs in between the announcements. So please, please, if at all possible, stay with us. Let's talk about God's will concerning worry. That's a big one. That's a big battle for Brother Len sometimes. God's will concerning worry. You see, we can find a promise in God's word for every aspect of our life. We can know, folks, we can know the will of God if we will be people who are filled with and led by the Holy Spirit and people of prayer. We can know the will of God, and we can develop an understanding about these things. This is the reason that somebody who does not give their heart to Christ, or someone who does not get healed, or someone who does not accomplish things in their life that we think that they should, it doesn't hinder my faith. Because I'm growing in understanding because of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know where they are. I don't know the plan that God has for their life. I don't know what road they're supposed to travel, but I know the road that He has me on. And I cannot see my own future perfectly, so I have to be a man of the Word of God, and I have to be a man of prayer and do my best to follow where He leads. But worry, 1 Peter 5:7. We can find a promise of God for every aspect of our life, and then we can know how to pray, and we can have the assurance before we pray what His will is. So we're talking about worry. It says this, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Let's say it another way. Casting all your care upon Christ, because Christ cares for you. Friend, if you doubt that Christ loves you, if you doubt that Christ cares for you, you're not going to have very much productivity and success in your life. And you're going to, you know, I pray that people will stay saved that are in that condition. And it's not as easy for somebody to walk away from their salvation as some Pentecostals have preached that it is. If you listen to some people, you know, it's like every time you make a mistake, you gotta go get saved all over again. That's not only stupid, but it's wrong. The grace of God holds us in the palm of His hand. And as long as we keep believing, we stay there. If we stop believing, then we have a problem. It's called backsliding. Worry is sin. Worry says that I must rely on my own thought processes and my own figuring things out, and I consider that of more value to me than I do God. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says it is sin. So how do we pray over our worries? God, help me not to do it as much. God, take them away one by one. I could go on and on and on and name options, but I think the best one is to say, Lord, teach me to trust You and teach me to cast my cares over onto You every day. Care by care, moment by moment, day by day, whatever the case might be, teach me to trust. Humble me from having to be one who rescues someone else or myself all the time. Humble me to know that You've got this in the palm of Your hand and that You have my good. at heart. Amen? And last of all, we can pray, we can know God's will concerning our financial blessing. And I want to say this about finances. I didn't spend as much time on any of these as I should have, okay? So this is just like a step-off introductory message on the on this particular topic, but we're covering it, and it's important that we do. Probably nowhere, no other subject in the Bible could be considered more relative than prosperity or blessing. Some people call it the prosperity message, and some of them call it the blessing. Whatever you want to call it, it's fine with me. I'm telling you, it is God's will according to the Word of God for you to live a blessed life. It's God's will for you to prosper. Now. That's relative. And I certainly would not endorse the greed of so many out there today. I'm not talking about getting yourself jet airplanes and pleasure boats and all of this kind of stuff. It has nothing really to do with stuff. Although it definitely transfers over into that. I don't believe that God wants children on planet Earth to starve to death, even though thousands will do that today. I don't believe it's God's will for you to have to miss meals because you don't have enough money to buy food, even though that may be happening to you. I do believe that God has a better plan for you and that there are principles in the Word of God that He wants to use to revolutionize your life. I'll tell you a quick story before I read this couple of verses. Angie and I were married in 1993, and we made some choices and some decisions that maybe weren't the greatest at that time. But to make a long story short, by the end of that year, we were pretty down low on our finances. And we were basically didn't have anything, okay? I mean, we were just paying the bills, just making ends meet, both working part-time jobs at that time. Jobs aren't always easy to get, no question about it. But by 1995, we went to a Jerry Savelle meeting. Angie had been stricken with a sickness or something, a disease of some kind that had caused her bladder to crack, and she was in tremendous pain. I mean, it was keep you up at night pain. Many was the night that I would stay up and pray for her and worry about her and all of these kind of things that we were doing back then. And there's a difference too, let me throw this in there, between worry and concern. Just because you're not going to allow worry into your life doesn't mean you have to be flippant and not take care of business. So I'll leave that there. And so our finances were a wreck. I was preaching full-time. I was working part-time. Angie was working part-time. And we went to this meeting, Brother Jerry Savelle, and God touched my wife and healed that bladder disease. Praise God. Never another painful night, never another complaint about that issue in all of these years from 1995 until now, bona fide healing. And the most important thing in addition to that that happened in that meeting was God taught us the importance of our tithe and our offerings. And we have seen over the years our income explode. And I could share with you the time that God spoke to us. Now this isn't Len Paxton going out and buying jet airplanes or stuff like that. But God spoke to our heart one time, both of us, about sowing a ton of food, giving the funds to buy one ton of food for LACI Global Feed the Hungry that they were taking to North Korea. And the Holy Spirit quickened that to our hearts. We did it in honor of my dad who fought in Korea. And we gave enough money to buy one ton of food for those people who even to this day are starving to death over there. We needed a second car. We were down to one car. But we were believing that God wanted to bless our lives. And so we can't really get by on one car. I mean, if I'm in a meeting somewhere, if I'm in a prayer meeting somewhere, I can't stop and run and get you and take you home or bring you back to the prayer meeting or whatever the case might be. And so we were believing for that second car. 3 weeks after we turned that seed loose for North Korea, God blessed us with that second car. And we drove it for over a year. And it didn't look, it wasn't all rusted out. It didn't look that bad, you know. And we were just as happy and content as could be. That's what I'm talking about, that prosperity is relative. We weren't rich. We're not rich now. But we are blessed. And God wants us to be blessed. Let me read this scripture. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So there's some maturity. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And there's some maturity that has to come to us in order to walk in the fullness of God's desired blessings for our lives. There's maturity that has to come, or we will waste it on our own lust. We will consume it upon our own lust, and God will cut it off. Times Square Church and Summit International Bible School says it the best. The best way to live your life is for the benefit of others. And as you give for the benefit of others, and as you live for the benefit of others, your meal barrel will not run out and your cruise of oil will not run dry. And I will stand on that promise the longest day that I live. Somehow, some way, God will get it to us. Amen. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we're going to close with this verse of Scripture. We're going to run into a song real quick, and then I'll be back. But my God, here's God's will, shall supply all your need. Didn't say all your greed, but he said all your need shall be supplied by my God according not to what you think or I think, or the world's standard, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I didn't give examples about how to pray for all of these things, but let me close by just saying this. Study the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to give birth to desires in your heart. It will be from the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you against God's will. Allow Him to mature you day by day by day, and don't get in a hurry. Let patience have its perfect work in our lives, Lord, and let us become all that You want us to be. You pray for your loved ones, for yourself, for your family, for your friends, whomever, according to the Word of Almighty God, and stand on that Word, and having done all to stand, stand therefore on the Word, and never let a devil in hell knock you off of that Word.